From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 405, Securing Databases, with guest Simon Sabine. Recorded Thursday, December 18th, 2014. Run As Radio is produced each week by PWOP Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today is Simon Sabine, who runs a small company that focuses on helping companies build better data systems. He's worked in IT for almost 20 years and is renewed focused on helping teams engineer systems, implement agile processes, ensure quality with sound testing practices, delivering value through continuous integration and end-to-end responsibility for a DevOps culture. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'm glad to have you there. We almost saw each other at the MVP summit, but, you know, it's crazy there.
Oh, it's mad. Yeah. Even though I was there for a week, you try to meet up with people, but yeah, there's so much going on.
So much to do. Yeah. It is just a panic and a lot of fun, but I have nothing to complain about, but it is very challenging to do everything you want to do while you're there.
Yeah, my wife always sees all the lists of parties, but doesn't appreciate it. It is hard work for a week of lots of networking and talking.
Well, in so much of our normal work life, we're the only one. It's rare to be amongst a group of peers, of folks that are fighting the same problems you're fighting in different organizations.
Yeah, and I mean, you're in the .NET world, so generally you've got a team of people, whereas yeah. Most people... when you go into a team, there's one data guy, and it's really difficult for those guys. They're sitting there and it's like, they're always that big bag ogre as well that, is always the blocker for the dev guy that wants to get stuff.
Yeah. You're the guy who says no all the time.
Yeah.
And you say, yeah, like you're happy about it.
Yeah. I've got a passion to try and get the DBA out of that role.
Yeah. But, you know, and I do a lot of DevOps talks myself, and I'm often bouncing back and forth between, this is how you can think like a dev. This is how you think like IT. Like, this is why they're different. And the big thing when you're a DBA, and I've spent my time as a DBA, is you are responsible for data. And it doesn't matter whose code corrupted the data. If the data is corrupted, it's your fault. And you've got to protect it. That's your job.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I think in the renewed vigor of DevOps, and whenever you look at the number of people involved in an organization, mm-hmm. and you've got 30, 40 devs and one DBA guy, what are you expecting that guy to do? Reviewing code is just pointless.
Yeah.
You've got to change the way you work to have the feedback loop so that devs understand what's going on, and the big point is that you can't give it the responsibility of one guy. Okay, they can be responsible for pushing policy and stuff, but you've got to instill a focus of security and compliance through everybody.
Right. This is not one person's job, and I've also worked with organizations that have a real InfoSec guy. They called him the business productivity inhibitor. And in the end, this is the guy who made sure we were PCI compliant and we go through security audits, and he would lead, you know, he would run them first before we got audited to actually get us to be secure. You know, it's all well and fine until you're Sony Pictures and you've had everything stolen.
Absolutely. I mean, I was saying this is a passion of mine for a while, and mm-hmm. I've been tracking sort of vulnerabilities and leaks that have gone out. And if you do a bit of a scan of the news wires over the past sort of decade, up until 3 or 4 years ago, there was like very few. There was like one or two big things.
Right.
But with the sort of proliferation of systems and data and web systems being much more accessible on the internet, the number of exposures, it just is ridiculous. I mean, you look at Target, you look at Sony, and all these things that, and invariably, I mean, I was reading the thing about Sony today, and that they reckoned that, oh no, it was ICANN. So got hacked yesterday, and that was a spear phishing attack. Someone sent an email, someone clicked on something, and basically took them to a website that got their username and password, which meant they got into the systems.
Wow.
And that's like the guys that are responsible for
the internet.
I mean,
well, because people are still people, right? Like, it doesn't matter what crazy job you've got, you know, people still get fooled.
It's people. People are the problem.
Yeah. I mean, if we didn't have people involved with any of these computers, it'd be fine. I also think there's not only is the proliferation of systems, that the criminals have gotten more sophisticated. You know, when's the last time we had a slammer or a red flag? You know, those really viruses that got away from the experimenter. They have no payload. They were just propagators. And those are gone. You know, these days, when you see malware or hacking, it's much more serious. It's revenue focused, whether it's distributing ads or controlling the machine for botnetting or data theft. They are serious criminality behind this now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, security goes in so many regards. And I mean, I've just recently left a big online organization, finance organization in the UK, and fraud is just a big thing. I mean, the ingenuity of these guys to get around X, Y, and Z of your systems.
Right.
You need to have those clever people on board that can think like these guys and protect your systems. And it's not just down to the DBA guy. It's, you've got to have your protection in all your levels.
Well, and I get, you know, for most part, correct me if I'm wrong, DBAs aren't on the front line of this. You know, it's more the network guy and the web guy that are taking hits directly from the outside world. Isn't the DBA's role is the defense in depth? You're more the last line of defense than the first line of defense.
Absolutely. But then invariably you end up with this, you've got to work together.
Yes.
I mean, how many places have you seen where people are doing encryption and storing encrypted data in the database? That's great. But where are they storing their encryption key?
Right.
In their web config or their app config or in GitHub or, I mean, all these things are all about secure development practices. I mean, fascinating to hear that the team that was responsible for the secure development stuff in Microsoft got sort of reduced down in the latest round of changes that were made.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, that was a big movement, and that instilled an ethos of secure development. But you still, and it's an ongoing thing though, because people join the company and you've got to keep educating them to do things the right way.
And do you go through an audit process yourself? Like it's nice, it's good to think securely as you're working, but you know, the certificate key is a classic one. You're just trying to make the certificate work. The first time it actually works, you're like, oh good, move on to the next thing without actually cleaning up. Where does my private key live? Those files live, put them away, you know, actually tidy that whole thing up.
I think, I mean, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to get that buy-in. And I think PCI is one of those, so many places you go and PCI is this sort of, it's this stealth thing to get work done.
Yeah.
So even though some things aren't necessary for PCI, people use it to get work done. But unless you've got someone that's going to come in, unfortunate that unless there's some external organization that's going to say, thou shalt not get money because you will not have any revenue because we're going to shut you down.
Right.
Companies, CEOs often don't care.
Right.
I
said InfoSec guy as impediment to productivity as a joke, but they're, really can be a culture around that. That yeah, well, I'm not going to listen to that guy. He just slows down the money.
Oh yeah, and it's like anything. You put an impediment in, and what happens? Someone just circumvents it.
Yes.
You've got to make people think. I mean, it's like you try and do some proper development practice. You say, right, okay, we're going to standardize on X, Y, and Z. So we're going to use Jenkins rather than, I don't know, Team City. And then some Team City fan comes and goes and installs Team City on this box under his desk. And those sorts of things, they're all that ethos about circumventing process. And process is not necessarily bad,
no.
But you've got to make it, work for you. One of the challenges you've got nowadays is that with the whole DevOps culture, people will go, oh, how can we do seek continuous delivery? We need sort of separation of duty. We can't have a dev pushing a button to push things to production.
Right.
But what do you do instead? Do you say, okay, right, we're going to copy some DLLs and we're going to give them to the or copy some SQL scripts, give them to the DBA. The DBA is going to run those SQL scripts. Or we're going to give some DLLs and the web admin is going to go and install those on the box.
Mm-hmm.
That fundamentally breaking that chain is a problem. And having an automated, very trackable, easy process is the friend of compliance in my view.
Right.
But it takes, especially in the DBA world, I think it takes some mindset shifting to get people to accept that that can work and that they don't have to review the script and run the script themselves. They can have a tool do it for them.
Right. I mean, that is one of the strengths now is there's better and better tooling around these things so that we could automate more and more of it. You don't have to look at security as slowing down deployment the same way that testing doesn't have to slow down deployment.
Absolutely.
You know, there's lots of folks there that are fighting the testing mantras because I know we've got to deploy faster. It's like, no, testing kind of necessary. The only difference between failing to test adequately and failing to secure adequately is the test failures show up really quickly. Security failures show up much later.
But I think one of the big things you've got to do is you've just got to be able to see when things happen.
Right.
So if someone's getting into your system, then you need to see that it's happening. And the feedback loop part of DevOps,
mm-hmm.
Is not only beneficial from your development process, but it's also beneficial from your security and your compliance process.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, is how often, for the number of times that we've heard announcements around theft of data, how many systems have been stolen so cleanly they don't even know they're stolen?
Well, I mean, I was at a conference a while ago, and most people think the standard view from the security world is if you're not looking, then someone's in your network.
Right.
Someone's looking. Someone's got access. Because getting back to the people thing, how many people have you got in your organization? How do you know one of them hasn't gone and clicked on something and given out their username and password?
Right.
Do you have two-factor authentication on everything? It's down to people.
And you have to deal with the reality that there's a constant, as long as people are using the computers, there's a constant risk of exploitation in one form or another.
And I think that's where if you secure things down and you encrypt it so that even if they do get access, they need to be quite clever and yes. Get hold of this bit of information and this bit of information and that bit of information. And whilst, I mean, the Sony exploit, what, the PlayStation thing, was it 4 or 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really get much fallout.
No.
From that hugely. Because they had customers that are willing to carry on doing stuff.
Yeah. Well, then there's another piece here, which is how much people care about their privacy versus just want to get the things done they want to get done. You know, I think the credit card number releases aren't good, but ultimately the exposure is to the vendor more than the customer. And if the customer didn't do that transaction, they get to reverse it. It's the vendor who took the transaction without confirming the customer that's taking the risk is going to lose the money.
But I think the biggest risk is the whole ID thing. The fact that you can take some bits of information and you can go and apply for a loan.
Yeah. And you can destroy someone's credit. It's much more frightening.
I was at a family party at the weekend, and my cousin's husband was saying that he found these letters that were someone had taken out a loan in their name. And what they boiled it down to was that they live in a house with a big gate and a big drive, and the postman had been deciding not to drive or walk up to the front door and post his letters through the letterbox, just putting it on the gate. And so someone had seen that and said, "Ooh, I can pick the letters when they come, and so I can get the credit card and the loan and X, Y, and Z." And
wow,
scary.
That's simple.
It's that simple.
Simon, give me 1 second to pay the bills, because Run As Radio is brought to you by ScriptRock, the makers of Guardrail and the fighters of configuration drift. Configuration drift happens in every environment from 5 nodes to 5,000. Guardrail will find and scan the configs of every node in your environment, no matter the platform, and alert you to changes happening across machines. Give it a try for 3 months with the coupon code RUNASRADIO, all one word, at scriptrock.com/RUNASRADIO. So I'm a SQL admin. You've sufficiently scared me. Now I have to start doing things to make my system's more secure, and it sounds more like encourage my team, the greater team that builds the software, to think more securely. Do you have specific tactics, things that you go to do to try and make the situation better?
I mean, basic things. I mean, if you've got enterprise sticking audit configurations in SQL is really simple. That's a simple thing you can do, and make sure you've got something that's reviewing your logs. There's plenty of log reviewy type systems, Logstash, Splunk, whatever you like,
right?
That can do some of that basic stuff, and lots of them have got apps on sitting on top of them that can do some nice stuff for you. But the bigger thing is just instill that ethos that if someone is passing around lists of people, don't go and stick it in an Excel file and email it around. That's pretty bad. If someone accidentally clicks that, includes that wrong Richard Campbell.
Right.
It goes to...
What's funny is these are not DBA specific things. These are just security practices.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the DBA thing, and this is where the DBAs can sort of be a bit more ogrous, is when someone wants that production copy of data, you've got to say no.
Yeah.
Or you come up with a way of obfuscating it.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to obfuscate data.
To actually strip the PPI out of I understand why devs and testers want to test against production data. They want the most realistic data they can. Sample data is always crappy. So it's worth the time to build a sanitizer for the production data, some way to take the PPI out of it, to take all the sensitive stuff out, so there's just no risk anymore.
It's very easy to do that sort of stuff. You just have a list of columns and a list of tables and a few update statements to go through and update them.
Right.
You've got to be careful you don't blow your transaction log, but doing that's really, really simple.
I've gone so far as to create mechanisms so that address validation still worked, but they weren't real addresses.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can strip things down so you don't, you change the person's date of birth, but you still keep them the same age.
Yeah.
You keep the same sex. Things like national IDs are a bit more of a challenge.
Sure.
But most national ID systems have some format that you can follow. It's not too difficult to come up with a plan.
And I think it's a worthy work item to just say, we need to build a mechanism so that you guys, rather than just saying no, when they say we want production data to test against, it's we need to build a system so that you can have production-like data that doesn't violate security concerns.
Yeah.
And that doesn't come free. It's going to take some time.
And once you take out the PI data, the personally identifiable data,
yeah.
then that data's pretty worthless. You've got to be careful, though, because you've got to... Some data you might think isn't personally identifiable, but if you've got a postcode and you've got... And that postcode is, to say, one house, someone can pretty easily figure out who that person is.
Right.
So things like postcode, zip codes... You can reduce them down so they're much broader. So the same for the date of birth stuff mm-hmm. is make it so that someone isn't identifiable, even if I mean, telephone numbers, all these sorts of things. I know in the UK, there's a white paper on anonymization that I can send you a link.
And for sure.
It tells you what you can do and what you can't do, and it points out this fact that if someone can take a bit of information from even someone else's system and use the information in your system and then identify them, then that's personally identifiable. So IP addresses, for instance.
Right.
I've got no idea what IP address relates to what person, but if I was the ISP and I got hold of both sets of data, then I could go and figure the two together.
Well, and I've worked, you know, having worked the web security side, I have used IP lookup to track down a hacker. You know, like, let me tell you, we can find you. It's not, yeah. not that hard when you know how the system works.
Yeah. There's some other interesting stuff that you can do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did a talk at SQL Bits last year about implementing encryption for PCI. In a way that is sort of seamless to the application. So even if your devs don't want to go and store data encrypted,
right.
you can go and do it so that you do store it encrypted. And it then means that you can give devs access to the database, but they can't see the credit card numbers.
Right.
So that's quite powerful.
So what are you doing powerful. A trigger or a store procedure to do the encryption as it hits the disk?
So the solution is a combination of a view and instead of trigger and the built-in encryption functions within SQL.
Right.
And essentially the application, if the application is, so the challenge is if the application is just hitting tables directly, so this solves this problem in that basically rather than having the table is credit cards, mm-hmm. rather than that being a table, it's a view with another table called, say, encrypted credit cards. And mm-hmm. so the view has got a trigger on it, which does the population into the table. And you can do some nice things around key rotation. And I've actually got the demo shows how you can do it with SQL Server data tools, with the app running. And that's quite a big refactor. Sort of redirecting application views and triggers and tables and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it works without the application really skipping a beat. And I think those are the things that I'm trying to push in terms of get that DevOps culture to do these things automatically rather than people hand crank scripts.
Right.
And
so we're not putting the onus on the dev. We're putting the onus on ourselves as the DBAs to make sure the data that's sensitive, that's stored on the system, is encrypted.
We know those devs, their backlog is all about funky features on the website.
Yes.
Not about the security stuff.
Yeah, there's no way to make the security feature bubble to the top, essentially. But if, you know, we said this at the top of the show, the DBA's mindset is to protect the data. Keeping it encrypted is a good way to protect it. So, and I'm looking at the SQL 2014 docs about transparent data encryption. So it looks like they support every kind of encryption key I've ever heard of. Do you have any particular ones you prefer?
So generally, if you want to replicate data, so if you're trying to do a backup and a restore, and you need to transfer data from one system to another,
right.
and still be able to decrypt it in the other system, you need to be able to regenerate or use the same key.
Right.
And so having symmetric keys means that you can actually recreate them. If you create like an asymmetric key, you can't recreate it.
If you lose an asymmetric key, it is lost.
it's gone. Your data is toast.
Right.
And the TDE thing is interesting in the fact that it means the data at rest is secure.
Right.
So for if you're in Amazon, AWS, or Azure, then it means that you're totally protected. It does mean that someone, if they've got access to the SQL box, they can still read the data from the table.
So if they can get access to control SQL, they can read the data directly. But grabbing the backup file or the MDF from even the production servers, it's encrypted.
Yeah. I remember I was fortunate enough to meet the chief security officer of AWS 3 or 4 years ago. And his view was, if you're really worried, then you need to make sure everything's encrypted at rest.
Right.
Because who knows what's going to happen in your hosting provider. The risk is probably very small, but if you want belt and braces, then you need to encrypt at rest. But that does mean that you've got a challenge in terms of where do you stick your keys.
Yes.
AWS has got a nice service called Cloud HSM, which is provided by essentially they are physical HSM. So HSMs are hardware software modules which do the encryption or store the keys. So they've all got tamper-proof detection and stuff so that it's all really secure. And you can connect SQL to that so that your keys aren't stored in your SQL server.
Right.
They're stored in the offsite or the remote HSM.
I mean, one argument in favor of the asymmetrical key is that you're probably already doing this for TLS on the website. So you already have keys to store. Store these keys as well.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. And the fact that it's external to the SQL Server to some degree helps protect you. But I appreciate Cloud HSM just because it's a place to put keys that's meant to put keys in.
So that you can, it's got the whole duality thing.
Yeah.
Which becomes a bit of a pain in SQL, because it's not primarily designed for key management. It's a database,
right? That's not what it's for. But yeah, I think key management encryption is a big piece of this. Do you have an audit process you go through yourself? Like, how do you keep an eye, or what's the sort of configuration state just to be sure you know where you're at?
Not overly.
Mm-hmm.
I think largely it's. There's a basic audit. I mean, most places have got, you really need a tool that's going to go and run things on a periodic basis. So most of the vendors have got tools that go and will give you detection of, additional users and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a big fan of hiring pen testers once in a while, you know. Those people are amazing. They're a strange breed, and they're worth paying, I don't know, once a year or so just to go and press against your system and see where you're at. You know, and they do that all day long on all these different systems, so they can usually sit you in a spectrum. It's like, you're the 50% case, or you're the 80% case, or boy, you're just not protected at all.
And that's, we talk about all this stuff, and it's black and white, whereas in reality, it's all about risk management.
Yes.
There's no point doing some of this stuff if you're holding, I don't know, details about dogs, if you're doing a pet.
How far do you need
service.
To go? Plus, there's security and there's security too. You know, I don't know if they use this in the UK. There's a product for your car called The Club. It's a little bar that you lock to your steering wheel so that it won't be able to turn. They're relatively inexpensive and they're visible in the car. And the point is, most people who are trying to steal a car just want a car. They don't want your car. That just any car will do. And The Club doesn't make it impossible to steal your car. If they really want your car, they can do it. But it makes it more awkward than the next car. And so they tend to leave your car alone because you've gone that extra step. And in my mind, most security is like that. Generally speaking, thieves are lazy people. They want the easy mark. And as soon as you make yourself not an easy mark, it doesn't mean you're impervious. It means you're just not an easy mark. So they'll probably go after someone else. But if you're one of those entities, You know, if you're Sony Pictures and North Korea really, really wants you, that's a whole other level of security.
Absolutely. But I think there's an interesting twist there is that with IT, with internet connected systems, it's pretty easy to go and try every single door
right.
of every single car on the internet.
Yeah, door handle rattling is very easy with technology. So yes. at least get past the door rattling level.
One of the great benefits of getting a pen tester in is just a real eye-opener. Your eye-opener your devs into what's possible.
Yep.
Because a UK guy in the US called Barry Dollins, who's
I know Barry. He's been on the show before, and he's amazing.
Oh, he's just and it's funny how you say that the InfoSec guy is the blocker. Mm-hmm. I mean, essentially, that's what Barry is to getting changes into ASP.
Right.
But the point is, they're aware of all these things that people are doing. I mean, some of the stuff they have to deal with, you think, I mean, it's not just SQL injection stuff. This is people, playing with packets and multi-packets on different machines and all this stuff. And it's just, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
The avenues people can get to get into your systems.
Yeah. The things they can get good at. So you got to arm up a bit. Simon, I appreciate your thinking here. It's not an easy practice, and I'm glad to talk in the terms of DBAs being part of the security process.
It's been great. I think we need to get more education into them just generally.
You bet.
We need to be way on board.
Yeah, and I can put a link to your blog for folks who want to know a little more. So I see you're always talking about fun things here.
It's a little old.
Well, I just encourage you to blog some more.
You know how it goes.
Yeah, I do. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Richard.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.